lighting up that day. Twitter feeds going crazy. Some dead guy just rose from the dead. Wow. I don't know about you. Do you guys watch a lot of news? We're going to get this thing rolling. Oh, am I on now? There we go. Okay, so how many of you watch a lot of news? You'd call yourself pretty well informed. How many of you watch news on occasion? Oh, quite a few of you. How many of you avoid news altogether? Okay. I love news. So ever since I was a teenager, I actually watched news on TV like an old person. Okay, all right. Some of you still do. And I've always loved news, but I've come across more and more people who avoid news. They don't watch it. They don't want to know why. It's depressing. It's depressing. There's not a lot of good news stories out there anymore. People watch the news and they just get depressed. But you know, that sense of pessimism and despair wasn't always there. Within some of our lifetimes, there was a time in our world where there was great optimism, where things were looking up. Take Star Trek, for example. Oh, you thought I was just about Star Wars. You're wrong. Star Trek. Take Star Trek, for example. So this is back in the 60s. This was a time where it looked like science was going to have all the answers to all of our problems. The future looked bright. In Star Trek, the future looked as though all races get along. There's no more war on planet Earth. There's no more poverty. They don't even use money anymore in the future. Everything was so great and so clean. Look at those people. Don't they look great? I mean, this was a time where they were going to boldly go where no one had gone before and all that good stuff. But science has not solved all our problems. In fact, as great as science is, and I do love science, and as great as scientists are, science has also brought us problems. Science has brought us weapons. We currently have weapons, and this blows my mind, that are 3,800 times as powerful as the bomb dropped on Nagasaki. 3,800 times more powerful. That's amazing. It's possible with technology now to steal all the money out of your bank account without ever going into a bank. There are drones that can kill people, like a video game, all through technology. It seems with technology we have far more communication and a lot less community. No amens on that one. Yeah, I think that's true. The thing is, with science has been found to not be able to erase human evil. So those who have put their hope in science have had it rather shaken. Well, what about religion? What if you put your hope in religion? Oh, this brought back memories for some of you. Yeah, so religion has proven that, well, there's been problems with abuse and greed and religious wars, and those who have put their hope in religion have had that hope greatly shaken. But surely politicians have the answer. What are you laughing at? Come on. Well, for those who put their hope in politics, the world has been rocked by scandals and seemingly never-ending wars, and the realization that there are non-government agencies sometimes pulling the strings of politicians, and so people who had put their hope in politics have had that hope shaken. And then there's always business. The dot-com crash of March of 2000 or the real estate crash of September 2008 definitely shook some people's hope that our economy that business was going to have the answers. And now we're facing possible trade wars and corruption and all that good stuff. No, business doesn't seem to have the answers for our world. But then there are the artists. The artists, we thought, surely Hollywood will have the answers. They can help us out. Well, we've seen drug deaths and sex scandals with the Me Too movement. Hollywood has turned out to be kind of a Sharknado of despair. If you didn't get that, ask someone younger. And what about this one? The family. Surely that's our last bastion of hope, right? The family. This great institution. And yet over the decades we have seen broken marriages, estranged families, children turning away from their parents' values, parents turning away from parents' values. We could talk about the justice system, we could talk about democracy, but all of these things have failed us. Have they not? Now, by this point in the message, I'm thinking you might be a little depressed. So I'm here to tell you good news. And the good news is there is genuine hope in our world. Even though, after all that I've said, the way our world often deals, well, the result has been in our world depression, addiction, anxiety, despair, cynicism, polarization, rage. You only have to go on a comment section under any news article to find out how much rage and cynicism there is out there. And we have dealt with this lack of hope through a number of ways. Food, alcohol, sex, shopping, drugs, recreational and illegal, all because we have a lack of hope. It's a lot of people feeling rather like poor Eeyore. I want to start with a quote from General Douglas MacArthur, and he said this. Oh, we're back to the beginning. How nice. This is a review. See, hopelessness, despair. Are you and I fighting back there? No, you're doing nothing. Okay, I'm just going to keep on rolling through. I'll get there. Now, General Douglas MacArthur. There he is. He said, "You are as young as your hope, as old as your despair." And my hope this morning, my aim this morning, is that all of you will leave this room feeling very, very young. There is only one source of hope, and if you were to guess and you said, "Oh, I know this, I know, I've been to church before," you're going to say, "Our hope, our the only true hope is in God." I'd say you're wrong. Lots of people in this world believe in God, and they have no hope. A belief in God itself does not bring hope. There's only one real source of hope that cannot be shaken, that will not fail us, and has the power to change our lives, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our only source of hope. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Paul writes to the church in Corinth about this very, very thing. And he says this: "If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching, all the preaching you're hearing this morning, the gospel itself is useless. And your faith, Christianity, is also useless." Paul wrote this about 20 years after the resurrection of Christ, and he said everything about Christianity is based on this one historic event. That's it. He put all the Easter eggs in one basket. Because if there is no Easter, Good Friday is useless. If there is no Easter, throw out Christmas, toss out Thanksgiving. Why? goes on. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. Now, what's he talking about? Because wasn't it Good Friday that paid for our sins? Yes. So what's Paul talking about? He's saying if Christ has not been raised, you're still guilty of your sins. What's he saying? Well, the resurrection is the proof that our Father accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on Friday. Without that, think about it for a second. Lots of people have been executed in our world. Lots. And on a universal scale, so what? But only one said, I'm going to raise myself from the dead. And then he did. It was on Easter Sunday that the proof, the smoking gun, that our Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for all of us, to pay for all of our sins. He was proof as he rose from the grave that there is hope. That there is hope that we are forgiven. Without Easter, there is no proof that there was ever a payment for our lies and our judgments and our impurity and our gossip and our slander and our pride. Without Easter, there'd be no proof. We would just have a dead guy in a grave. How would you know that you are forgiven? How would you know that this sacrifice was acceptable to our Father without Easter? Paul says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Amen? He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. In other words, my friends, there is more to come because of Easter. There is hope. In fact, Easter is our last great hope. Easter is hope. And this was not lost on his disciples. It was not lost on the apostles. Paul says in Acts 23, my hope is in the resurrection of the dead. My hope is in the resurrection. Strange, he did not say my hope is in the Bible. My hope is not in my pastor, thank goodness. My hope is not even in the cross. My hope is in the resurrection. You want to ask where Paul's hope was? It was in the resurrection. He also says this in Romans 8. We believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Christians suffer and they sin. This may be news to some of you. We too wait with eager, there's that word, hope. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights. I love that. Our full rights as adopted children, including new bodies he has promised us. In other words, one day things will be different. One day things will be better. You will have, yes, this is a cause for celebration. Some of you are ready for a body transplant right now. And it's coming, my friends. It's coming. Oh, this is great news. And I love the fact that even though we have some rights as sons, our full rights are coming. You know, we talk about people who have died in Christ as though they have everything already. They don't. We are waiting for the resurrection. That's when we will get our full rights as his adopted kids. Do you understand that? When we die, we will go to be with Jesus. That is what he's promised. But our full rights won't be realized. Only after the resurrection will we get these brand new bodies that won't get fat. They won't break down. There'll be no arthritis. There'll be no cancer. There'll be no heart disease. There'll be no paralysis. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And then Peter, see, the apostles get this, man. 1 Peter, it says, through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God. Why? Because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. That's why. Because of the resurrection, we have great hope. Woohoo! I'm excited. I love Easter Sunday. This is fantastic. And this theme of hope runs throughout the New Testament. Isn't it interesting that the enemies of Jesus anticipated something happening in the grave more than Jesus' followers did? They were surprised. They came to embalm Jesus on Sunday morning because they thought, this is over. Wow, did they get a surprise? And so it caught them off guard. The resurrection of Jesus wasn't something they just read about. They knew it. They touched him. They saw him. They heard him. They even ate fish with him. They witnessed. They were there when they were there when Jesus died. They were there when they stabbed a spear into him and he said his last words. And they were there as they took him down and they wrapped him up and they put him in this grave and rolled the stone. They were there. They saw it all. And they were there when Jesus appeared to them and talked to them. Amazing. This unconquerable, unshakable, unending hope began in Jerusalem and started spreading throughout the continents of the world. And this brought hope to people. And continues to bring hope to people. People who have lost their hope in science to have all the answers, or in religious activity, or in politics, or business, or Hollywood. These are no longer sources of inspiration that we can count on. There is only one source of hope. Now, question, does hope make a difference? Does hope make a difference? Yes, it sure does. Writer John Maxwell said, there's a great difference between those in this room who have hope and those who do not. He said it looks a little bit like this. Those who have hope are willing to sacrifice. They will look for opportunities. They are energized. They are disciplined. And people who have hope help others. Now the opposite, if you have no hope, is this. You will give as little as possible. You will look for excuses. You're tired. You're undisciplined. And you will hurt others. Now let me ask you this question. Based on this list, does our world have hope? This is not a trick question. Does our world have hope? No. Does not. No, sure, there are exceptions. But generally, it looks like the list on the right. But let me ask you a more personal question. Based on this list, do you have hope? Do you live your life like you have hope? Like you anticipate fully that something better is coming, that something is worth sacrificing for? Do people around you say, oh, this guy or this girl, they are people of hope. Oh, they just ooze hope. It's marvelous. The resurrection is our last great hope. Why? Because it's the only hope that cannot be taken from you. Did you hear what I said? It's the only hope that cannot be taken from you. You can have family taken from you, spouse taken from you, governments taken from you, scientists, movies, it can all be taken from you. But when you're taking your last breaths And you're asking the big questions. Now what? What's next? It won't be Wall Street that gives you hope. And it can't even be your family that gives you hope. It will be only the resurrection of Jesus that can give you hope in that moment. And this is not new to us. Jesus knows what it feels like to take those last breaths, to be dying, to feel life coming out. And he needed hope too. Watch this. Hebrews 12:2. How did he endure crucifixion? Because of the joy awaiting him. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he was seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Because of the joy awaiting him, he had hope. Something better was coming. I often wonder, I think Jesus is the bravest human being I've ever read about, honestly. To know that you are going to that kind of death, what kept him going? Hope. Hope something better was coming. See, my friends, Easter is hope. How powerful is hope? I read about this great experiment that was done with rats. Well, you don't like rats? Yeah, I don't like rats. I just spent part of the weekend cleaning up rat poo, so can you say poo in a sermon? Anyway, I don't know. You might want to edit that out. So I have a little less sympathy now about rats. I'm sorry for those of you who are real true animal lovers, but they did this experiment with rats. It wasn't a pleasant experiment. They would drop rats into a bucket of water in the dark to see how long they would swim. Now, rats must be pretty good swimmers because the average rat lasted 3 minutes swimming in the dark before they drown. I would not last 3 minutes treading water, I'm just saying. However, they reran the experiment. And the only difference, it was same rats, well, new rats, I guess. Same species. Huh. Same bucket of water. Although this time, they had a bead of light. Just one bead of light that the rat could see. Now remember, the average rat in the dark swam for 3 minutes. One particular rat with that one bead of light swam for 36 hours. Does hope make a difference? It sure does. Just having that one little sense of hope that something better is coming. Hope changes our attitude. Hope finds the lesson in defeat instead of leaving you feeling defeated. Hope discovers what can be done instead of what can't be done. Hope sees problems as opportunities. Hope lights a candle instead of cursing the darkness. Hope opens doors where despair closes them. Hope draws its strength from what can be instead of what was. Hope prompts a young man and woman to promise, "I do," when there are no guarantees. Hope fuels that same couple many years later, after broken promises and broken hearts, to give their promises another try. Hope is why human beings bring children into a fallen world. Hope is why we have hospitals and universities. Hope is why we have counselors and therapists. Hope prompts someone to pick up their cell phone and call 911. Hope brings people back to churches after being away for a long time. Hope prompts the Vancouver Canucks to go back to training camp each fall. That's a lot of hope. Have I lived here long enough to diss the Canucks? I don't know. How might I get letters? Okay. John Newton. Does anyone know who John Newton is? Writer of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. He said these really telling words before he died. I'm still in the land of the dying. I shall be in the land of the living soon. Great words of hope. And no doubt he needed that. He died on December 21st, 1807, at the age of 82, and by that time, no doubt, many of his friends had died. His childhood sweetheart, his wife Mary, died 17 years earlier than that. Chances are, by the time he wrote these words, he was virtually alone. I'm still in the land of the dying. I shall be in the land of the living soon. He had hope. Something better was coming. You might have heard of this guy. Billy Graham passed away just a few weeks ago. He was having dinner one time with a man named Senator Magnuson of Washington. And Senator Magnuson asked Billy Graham, "Are you a pessimist or an optimist?" Billy Graham's answer was, "I'm an optimist." And the senator asked, "Why?" Billy Graham gave a very simple answer, "Because I've read the last page of the Bible." And the last page of the Bible, if you haven't read it, is a great picture of hope. It's this beautiful reunion with our Father, where we will live with Him for all eternity. And all the things that are wrong with our world will be made right, the way God originally intended them to be when He created this earth. A meme that got passed around a lot just after Billy Graham died, went like this. It's a quote from Billy Graham. He said, "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." That is the hope of every follower of Jesus Christ because of Easter. But what about hope for those who never got a real fair shake? For those who never saw the light of life? Some of us in this room may have lost children. We never made it out of the womb alive. It's this great statement of hope that marks a grave, and it goes like this. In loving memory of our precious stillborn granddaughter Sarah, who even now beholds the face of our Father who is in heaven. That is hope. And it all comes back to Easter. Now I want to address three groups in this room before I'm done. There are those of you who know Jesus. You have a relationship with Jesus. And you live in hope every day. It marks what you do. It marks the decisions you make. You have this undying optimism that things will get better. That there is great hope. God bless you. You are living exactly what is intended for you as a follower of Jesus. Some of us in this room started following Jesus some time ago, but we have started to put our hope in other things. Maybe our career, maybe our marriage, maybe our hobbies, whatever it may be. And we find ourselves drifting further and further away from having our hope only in the resurrection of Christ. And has taken us further and further away from a relationship with Jesus. I invite you to come back to the only source of hope that is true, the only source of hope that you can have when you are taking those last breaths. All other things will fail you. And there finally, there's in this room people who've never had a relationship with Jesus. I'm so glad you're here. Really, I'm glad you're here. You are always welcome here. And if you haven't started a relationship with Jesus, I ask that this morning you would. That you would consider putting your trust in Jesus and putting your hope in this one event, the way Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. Our only hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to provide hope that lasts in every situation. I can't give you hope. Your friends, your government, your family, your spouse, your money cannot give you hope. Your only hope is in the resurrection of Jesus. And if you place your hope in the resurrection of Jesus, you can read the news and still have hope. You can even read comment sections and still have hope. You can be sick and still have hope. You can have marriage problems and still have hope. You can have kids that have wandered away from the faith and still have hope. There's only one source of hope, my friends. It's in the resurrection of Jesus. Without that, I couldn't stand here and offer you anything. But Jesus did rise from the dead. And he rose to give you hope today so that you can walk out of here feeling very, very young. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we worship you this morning. We worship you. We give you the glory that you deserve. You rose from the dead to give us hope so that no matter how bad things look on this planet, we have hope. Hope that something better is coming. Hope that no matter how bad things look, we can look forward to something good. Lord Jesus, we celebrate you. We praise you. Thank you for dying on a cross for us, for our sins that are very real and very ugly. Thank you for covering those sins. You died the death that we should have died. And you lived the life that we should have lived. And you rose from the dead. And you have given us hope this morning. We worship you. Amen.
I'll raise a banner, oh, 'cause my Lord has conquered the grave, my Redeemer.